sure, make sure that we're doing some of those basic things, and we want to be in the Word. We're going to really be emphasizing a few things, I'll say, toward the end of the service, but I want to encourage you to join the journey. We're not printing year calendars this year. We're going to use a year calendar, but we're not printing them, because everyone we did last year just bleh. So instead, we're going to try and go with 90-day emphasis and maybe save a little bit on paper and printing. I said that with a smile on my face, but part of what we want to do is we want to encourage you to join the journey. By that, I mean you and I don't have any more idea what's happening tomorrow than we did the day before. God knows what's going on. We don't. But he does tell us what we are to do today to be ready for tomorrow. Somebody say amen to that. And so part of what we want to do is we want to be in the Word. Some of you had some just tremendous spiritual victories last year. You were in the Bible more than you've been maybe in a while or ever. A lot of our men and our men's groups learned a weekly verse or almost weekly verse. Occasionally some of us learned the wrong verse for our men's group and, did that a time or two. But we put more verses together and we were more accountable. Well, that's part of the journey God wants you to be on. And so we're encouraging you to do that. And one thing I want to do, and I've held off on this for a couple of reasons, and I just, a few weeks before Christmas, I just said, we're just going to go for it. Anybody ever, you ever get to the point where you're like, I'm just going to go for it. I don't think I can eat that third piece of cake, but I'm just going to go for it. Anybody like that? Man. And I say that with a smile on my face. And part of what I want to do, I want to challenge you. I think I've got Psalm 1 loaded back there, guys. I want to challenge you to learn a verse of Psalm 1, two verses of Psalm 1, or maybe you just want to go for broke. Put down the fork in between now and the end of January. Say, I'm going to get real, real familiar with all six verses. How many of you think it'd be an unbelievable start to your spiritual journey this year if you could tuck away 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 verses together? How many of you think that'd be a great thing? How many of you think it'd be a great thing? How many of you going, I already know that psalm. Well, you pick something you don't know and get familiar with it. Or if you're like me, I can know it today and be really unfamiliar with it tomorrow. And so you just keep learning it every day. But I want to encourage, and I want to do that. We don't do a lot of responsive reading for a couple of reasons, but I want to try this one just for a minute and get us familiar with it. Is that okay with everybody? Is that okay? Psalm 1, I've got it on the screen. Got it on the screen in the back there. You can flip over. And I want to encourage you, make this part of what you do this year and in your life. Psalm 1, blessed is the man. I'm sorry. And let's try and read it together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me pause. Say, I want to be blessed in 2021. I can't do a redo of 2020. Let me give you a clue. You want to have a better year, better day, better month, better life, better journey? It'll start here with some things you don't do. You watch ever so carefully. Guard it with your life who you let influence you. Some of you got a septic problem. That is, you got sewage running nonstop in your eyes and in your mind and in your ears, and you wonder why you're discouraged and defeated and downtrodden, and some of you act devilish. It's because you're not being in the position to be remotely blessed, much less you're carrying what's coming in as a culture into your mind. And here in these opening pages, again, my mind, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are facing pages of the same book. They are the theme for the other Psalms. And really, I would suggest the theme, sort of an outline of life in the Scripture here. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm too fast here. I'm real excited. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What should be swimming around in your noggin? The Scripture. What should make you really, really happy? The Scripture. the Scripture. And if Scripture reading, learning, memorization, thinking about is not a delight, then I offer to you your first prayer request. God, help me to take great joy in learning and living and learning to love the Bible. This is how you'll grow. This is how you'll succeed. This is how you'll be blessed. Not only what we consider a blessing, we typically think about something temporary. He encourages, and this is where we'll stop today, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Now, I like everything about verse 3, don't you? What you do turns out well. What you do has endurance. What you do doesn't, and whatever he touches prospers. Man, I don't only want to be like that. I want to be around people like that. Amen? And have spiritual success. And again, the idea here is a universal one. But it all goes back to things I'm not going to do and things I'm going to do. I'm not going to do some of this. But I choose to do this. And I think what God wants to do is get these seeds in our mind of his word and let it spring up. And so, to my knowledge, one of the first times in 5 years plus now, 6 years, going in 6 years, that I've challenged all of us, let's take a shot at it. And we're going to read it through each week and see how we do. And we'll try toward the end of our time together to try and read it without it on the screen. So, get it on a note card, take a picture of it, get it on your Bible app. Write on a sticky note, or, you know, do what I do, make your wife memorize it, and just kind of mumble after her. Whatever you need to do, but let's go for it. How many of you love to? I'm going to ask for a commitment for something else later. How many of you, man, you'd love to get real close to this by the end of the month? How many of you think it'd change your life if you put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses in a way? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Psalm chapter 1, we'll say more about that. You'll see more about it on social media and things like that. Thank you so much. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to talk about Timothy this morning. Philippians chapter 2, maybe. Maybe I'll turn over there. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 19. Philippians 2, 19. And stand with us if you would, read God's word together. I know we just read God's word, but I want you standing forever. Philippians 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus and Timotheus unto you shortly, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state." Right before Christmas, we left off with an amazing hymn of Christ. We were in the Catskills in the mountains. It was beautiful. It was lofty. It was amazing. It was challenging. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Man, and we're in those kind of things, and we're racing towards some of those kind of things. Man, and he is doing, and it's powerful. And he's talking about all this stuff, and he switches gears, and he says, "By the way, I'm going to send Timothy to you." One guy said it was like a commercial, a commercial for carpet cleaning in the middle of the greatest sports saga you've ever seen. Your emotions are all crazy, and all of a sudden a guy comes on. "Do you have dirty carpet? What do you mean telling me Timothy's coming? What do you mean giving me the travel itinerary? What are you doing, Paul? What in the world? Why is this here?" Keep going. "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that is a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it shall go with me. The trial is coming. I am confident I'm going to be exonerated. I am almost certain that I'm coming back to see you. But in the meantime, I'm going to send Timothy and your sick pastor, Epaphroditus, back to you, And here's why I'm going to do it. And in the last verse, verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly. In 2021 English, we would say, if the Lord wills, though, I'm coming too. But I love you guys so much. Timothy's coming. Epaphroditus is coming. And I'll be following behind him. So why in the world do you give travel plans when we're having such a grand time in chapter 2? I'm glad you asked. I want to talk about the need, the joy, and the role model that Timothy is for service. Timothy, a role model for joyful service. Pray with me right now. Father, front to back, left to right, those that are watching online, Father, those that are listening to the podcast, how I pray you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you. And Father, you know, I've prayed almost too excitedly. God, if we'd have 40, 50, 60 people tuck your word away this month, if they'd lay claim to the spiritual victory that is scripture memorization, if they would allow your word in their heart, Father, if we would, in the face of all the chaos and the confusion, say, you matter most, Lord Christ. Father, we would say to a world, we will act like believers and serve each other like believers, and we will praise you because you are worthy. When everyone is so selfish and so self-centered, we will do this. God, what a witness, what a testimony it would be. Oh, how I ask you to do that. Grant that in our hearts. Father, that you would stir us and use us and mold us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Would you help us right now? Would you be with us in these moments? God, help us to pay attention. Help those who are messing around on their phones and their tablets, Lord, to zero in. God, would you help those, Father, who came in with awful attitudes? Would you turn those around? Would you point us to the cross? Would you be exalted? Would we make much of you, King Jesus? Or be with my thoughts, be with my mind. Lord, focus me in like a laser. May my voice be strong and clear. But in all this, would you be magnified? Would you be made great? We love you and we need you. I pray that you would help us right now in all that we say and do. We ask it in your son's precious name. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Be seated. We have in, if you can remember back that far, we were in just the middle of a great time. And we had a great time in the Christmas season and the hopeful season, and we had special guests. But I've been itching to get back because we left off with one of my favorite characters here in the New Testament. It's this man named Timothy. And Timothy, this young man, by young, we're probably guessing he's in late 20s, mid-30s, somewhere through there. He gets one of the best descriptions. He gets one of the best condemnations. And he's one of the best lists in the New Testament. Somebody said the other day, said, Pastor, what's your favorite food? You know, and like a day and a half later, give me a minute. What's your favorite thing? I was trying to write out a list of blessings, you know, in the past year. Man, I just struggled. Not with too few, but with too many. Anybody like that? And by the way, I'm pretty good at thinking of all the things that have gone wrong, too. Anybody get that list pretty quickly? You know, you're like, oh, man. You know, some of you came in here going, a cobweb's still there. It was here the third week of December. And, you know, some of us are wired that way, and some of us, you know, see lollipops and rainbows and all those kind of things. He's in this great list of things. He's in the great list. Paul talks about him being examined. Your Bibles are open. Just go back to verse 1 real quick. I just want to say, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 4, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Paul is finishing up the section where he's saying, I don't have it exactly right, But I'm trying really hard. And he even uses himself as a bit of a negative example. And if that wasn't good enough, he takes those next verses and he talks about Christ. He talks about his incarnation, the condescension. And if you remember, he takes us down, and then like a giant V of oratory, he pulls it back up, and we end up here. And again, if you go to verse 17, verse 16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You do this. You do this, and my pastor missionary heart will be just right. Follow his example. Do what he has commanded you to do. We took about 3 weeks in that section. And he's going to close it out putting more pictures for us of people to follow. He's had inspiration. He has had instruction. And thank God for some of us who are visual. He's had illustration. Paul, Christ, now Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And again, I know some of you with a little bit of more Bible education, I know it's Epaphroditus. I know how to say it, but nobody says it that way, so I'm going to say it the way everybody says it. So I got that. Otherwise, all of you who send me snarky text messages when you watch this online, don't do that. Send it to my wife. So I know how to say it. So when we're looking at these folks here, that thrills my soul. Because if there's one really hard knock against the American church, is that people are what? They're phony. They're plastic. They're one way here. And even now, people are like, that guy says he knows Christ, but man, his car never leaves the garage. And he says this, but he just does as much as I do. He drinks as much as I do. He's as nasty as I am. There's no difference between me and him. And man, isn't that heartbreaking when somebody throws that in your face and they point to somebody and go, well, he's no better than I am. I'm just as good as they are. And you're like, ugh. And you want to go take a 2x4 lovingly to whoever they were talking about? And you go, well, I'm sorry, that example is a bad one. But let me point you to some good examples. Let me point you to somebody like Timothy. Let me point you to somebody like Timothy. Let me point you to someone. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wonderful theologian, fascinating story, could have been an assassin to Hitler. And you just need to read a little of his life or Google him, not right now, but even Wikipedia gets it right. He coined a phrase that we picked up, cheap grace. Let me help you. Chapter 1, chapter 2 of Philippians knows nothing of cheap grace. Non-life transforming grace. Brother Blair, Brother Glassby, somebody was talking to me, maybe it was you, Brother Bobby. You know, people say they love Jesus and they want to do this and they're everything's right with God, but you can't. I mean, you can't see any fruit in their life. You can't see any transformation. And you worry for them. You struggle for them. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, as a pastor, as a shepherd, I'm wondering, man, did you get the same thing the rest of us got? Did you drink from the same cup the rest of us got? Because there ought to be inside of you a desire to be more like Jesus and to serve Jesus. And I get it when people throw the rocks at others. And aren't you glad, by the way, all of us can be on the journey of grace and the journey of growth. And there needs to be growth in our lives. And we look here and we go, how in the world do you get this kind of commendation like he gives here? What in the world is this? D.A. Carson, his little book, great little commentary on Philippians, the Epistle of Joy. He says, reminds us that much of the Christian life is just as caught as it is taught. That before there was the example of Paul, hear me, before there's the example of Timothy, there was an example in some in their lives too. And there is a chain of faith extended in discipleship and growth. Truth of the matter is, we ought to want to imitate people like Timothy. And we all want to replicate people like Timothy. Before I go any further, I'm going to use Timothy, especially to our younger ladies and all and our ladies in here, so I don't have to keep saying he and she or them. I'm going to use him generically in a moment and specifically. But where do they come from? Where do you find them at? Can you have a long discussion with people before too long you go, and young people today, they got it rough, they got it tough. Can you travel around and visit churches sometimes and you go, where in the world are the young people at? We came first seven months, hadn't been a kid here. I forget how long it had been since anybody had been in the nursery. My heart broke. We are surrounded by tens of thousands of young families. And where are they? Where are they? I got all teary, people playing on the swing set and thanking us for putting it up and thanking us for, you know, not having electroshocks out there to keep them away. And again, we don't want the people on the dirt bikes coming back unless they're coming riding them to church. We want to help you be a Timothy. We want to help you serve Christ the right way. So how do we see that? How do we do that? How do we catch it? And what I want to do, I want to briefly show you who Timothy is, and then we're going to lump him in with Timothy and Epaphroditus next week, Lord willing. But I want to offer him to you. I want to offer what I think is this role model here for joyful service. I want to throw it to you. How do we find him? How do we encourage young people and young adults and middle-aged people and folks like me who I think I'm a lot further past middle age now? How do we encourage them to be sold-out servants for Christ and to join the journey and to be in the Word and to have a heart that wants to see other people that way? And I don't want you to miss it. Again, we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me. Verse 20. As soon as you get there, blink at me, wink at me. Poke your wife, poke your girlfriend, your boyfriend, poke a stranger. That'll get them away. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He loves people like I love people. He's not saying he thinks just like I do. He's saying he cares for you like I care for you. How do you get that? You know, selfish, self-centered, me and mine, grumpy, critical, hypocritical, nasty world. How do you get somebody to say, man, he loves people like I love people, and I'm trying to love people like Jesus loves people? Man, because that is an unbelievable compliment, isn't it? You can do a lot worse at your graveside service. Somebody says, he loved people like Jesus loved people. She loved people like Jesus loved people. Where do you get that at? How do you make a Timothy? How do you get young people to do this? Just the first point today. How's a Timothy created? How do you start that process in your life? How do you start that process in another's life? Next time, Lord willing, what's the character of a Timothy? And then we're going to just have a lot of fun. How is Timothy and Epaphroditus commended? And all of you goal people, you will not want to miss that, because I'm going to lay out some spiritual goals for you, not just for a year, but for a lifetime. So here we go. So what is it? I think before there's ever this great commendation, you got to have a model. You got to have a picture. Somebody's got to flesh it out in front of you. And so the model of faith, the model of faith. Who is the model of faith? I'll put it on the screen here. Let's walk through how Timothy ends up in Philippians 2. Let's go to Acts 16, verse number 1. Acts 16, verse number 1. Who is his influencers? Who is helping him get there? I mean, just for fun here. How many of you are interested? How in the world does that happen? How does somebody come to love people like Paul did or Jesus did? How do you get that? And don't you want that combination for yourself? Somebody says, man, they think just like I do in this area. I'm going to send them to you because they love people and they love God's church. They love being around God's people. They want to see people come to Christ. Man, I am all over this. Because this is where I struggle, isn't it? Isn't this where you struggle? Loving people because people are annoying. People disappoint you. People lie to you. I had a phone call, a deal with a guy, much larger ministry. He looked at me, put his fork down. He said, Rodney, nobody told me. Not that I listened to. If people would not like me. And I said, I'm so sorry. I like you just fine. You are paying for the meal, aren't you? And he laughed. I didn't say that. He said it's war. I said, it absolutely is war. It is war. Then he said, it's worth it. Oh yeah, it's worth it. Oh yeah, it's worth it. How do you get there? Then he came to Derbe and Lystra and Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman. Paul here on this missionary journey comes. Commentators are kind of evenly divided. Did he lead him to Christ? Was he already a Christ follower? I kind of lean toward that. I kind of lean toward the idea that maybe he was already following Christ, but if not, it didn't matter. But Paul is going to help disciple him, but he's going to build on somebody else's foundation. We find that in 2 Timothy. Excuse me. Let's continue reading here. I'm so amped here. Sorry. Son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. We see this unusual situation. It's just a culture clash. Best guess is our father never became a believer, at least not while Timothy was around. More than likely, his father's a pagan. Let me help you right now. If you think everything's got to be really, really, really simple in your family for you to really, really love and serve Jesus, then you don't understand the life of Timothy. It wasn't simple. It wasn't easy. He's going to more than likely go against his father's wishes to become a believer. But he's got a model in front of him with two particularly special ladies. And that we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul, speaking of Timothy, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. He's got a heritage of faith. He's got two women in his life who have done their best to pass on the scriptures to him. So how does a Timothy start? It starts with somebody saying, I will pour into you what was poured into me. I will pass along the faith that was been given to me in the scriptures. Excuse me, been given to me in the scriptures. See, what do you mean? He says your unfeigned faith. We would most certainly say unhypocritical. Is there any better test of our faith than how we live at home? Anybody wish you lived as good at home as you look like you do at church? I got both hands and one leg up. I'd put the other leg up, then I'd fall, and I'd be on YouTube. Anybody wish you lived as consistently at home as everybody thinks you do? He said, you examined up close your mother and grandmother, and you saw the veracity and genuineness of their faith. What he's talking about? He's talking about intergenerational discipleship. He's talking about the fact that the word was passed from parent to child, from child to others. This is how you create a Timothy. This is how you create someone who loves God and who loves others. You say, well, Timothy's a full-time Christian worker. No, Timothy was a vocational Christian worker. We are all to be full-time Christian workers. You find your niche. You find what God has enabled you to do. You stay really plugged in. He loved others. He loved the church. He loved them because he saw other people love them. By the way, he saw it warts and all earlier in Timothy. In the two books of Timothy here, Paul says to him, said, I remember your tears. It was hard. It was rough. Let no man despise you because of your youth. You're taking it on the chin, but it's okay. God is in your corner, and so am I. When we look at this, we see the model of faith. We see the model of faith. How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you understand that you're still in 2 Timothy? Go over chapter 3. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, able to make thee wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody taught it to him. The people in your circle of influence, what do they know about the Bible because of you? I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. I'm not remotely. Well, what do they know about the Bible because of you? What do they know about loving people because of you? What do they know about loving the church of God because of you? From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Children are to be taught. They must be taught. And so here's Timothy with his whole life ahead of him. Somebody's pouring into him the Scriptures. Oh, what better thing can you do to spend time daily in the Word? What better thing can you do when your children are smaller, grandchildren, nieces and nephews are smaller, than to say that? Bobby Flores lives over near Raleigh, North Carolina. He's got a giant group text, and he couldn't be with his nieces and nephews all the time, but he decided every day he'd send them a verse and tell them he was praying for them. And as they've gotten older, they've treasured them. And I know he told the story that one of them just pulled up and said, I've kept every text message you sent from all those days. You can have an influence in their lives. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through Jesus Christ. How do you do this? You model it. You model it. How are you going to model it? I think you got to know the Bible, you got to live the Bible, you got to teach the Bible. If you're in the app, you can just click there, and I think I got it all laid out for you. How you can be a model? Let me help you. You can be a model at 16 to somebody who's 15. You can be a model at 16 to somebody who's 36. Timothy's a young guy going to Philippi to a bunch of retired Roman soldiers. To our knowledge, Timothy never served. And he's going to go there and say, this is what God says. He's going to be a model. He's going to be an influence up. Got to know the Bible. Well, I want to encourage you. You can't do a thing about yesterday, but you can do something about today. You try. In you. Let this work. We will do all kind of things and act all kind of ways. We will make our house look like a lighting store threw up on it at Christmas time. that we're scared to death of a leather-covered book? Anybody call us fanatical? I'd settle for nominal, much less fanatical. You gotta know the Bible. You gotta live the Bible. That word unfeigned, again, unhypocritical. Let me help you. Everybody's examining your faith all the time anyway. Everybody's examining your walk. You might as well give it your best shot. You might as well put your best foot forward. You might as well to be faithful and consistent to you. You better learn how to apologize. I'm convinced that the Lord gives me more life. I've got more apologies to my wife and children. And I'm convinced they're not going to remember my consistency as easy as they will my inconsistency. Let me help you. But hopefully in my inconsistency, they're going to remember my apology. Dad, sorry you didn't do what you're supposed to. Follow Christ. Learn from my mistakes. Live the Bible. And then teach the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. What would it be like? What would it be like? He said, you know, we're gonna do that. What would it be like, you know, all right, we're going to read Psalm 1 together before we have dinner tonight. Before we go to bed tonight, let's practice learning this. You can do times tables, multiplication tables. You can review spelling words. You can know the stats and the scores. You can know the odds. You can know what brother say last night. You know, there's three ways that the Browns can get into the playoffs. And I was confused when Thank you. All right. Again, I know you can hear me, but if I don't have a mic, they can't hear me online. So, when the other recording. So, hear the Bible, understand the Bible, and teach the Bible. By the way, how many of you think I just like the devil to get into my microphone or me mess it up too? Because it'll work. It'll work after service. Not sure if you understand it. My messing with it, my fiddling with it, I have killed it. So, man, I hate that. My hands are a little better. I could get it going there. Sorry about that. He is the model of our faith, the model of our faith. His mother is Jewish. His father's a Greek. His father's more than likely an unsaved person, a pagan, but here he is. And so we have the modeling of faith, and then we have the molding of faith and the mission of faith. What's the mission of faith? The faith was passed to Timothy. That's it. You can pray for money, you can pray for riches, but if you got nieces, nephews, kids, grandkids, you got unsaved sisters and brothers, wherever you find yourself landing, you ought to be praying for your faith to be passed to them. And if you get more excited that they got a promotion or they got a new house or they got a new car or they got a new dress or they got a new go-kart or four-wheeler or whatever, and you're not more excited that they were in service or they're reading their Bible or that they have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, something's wrong with you and your priorities. We ought to be unbelievably concerned and burdened and excited to see those around us in our circle of influence see the faith passed to them. People are paying attention. Let me give a timeout. And you can do everything right, and they still walk away and say, it's not for me. They're going to be responsible. I'm not responsible for what they do with what I pass on, but I am responsible for what I pass on. So, well, Proverbs says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It's exactly what it says. It's a play on words. When they get older, they can't get away from it. They'll pillow their head at night and they'll remember your prayers and your tears. They'll pillow their head at night and they'll remember the guy preaching to them and the youth pastor sharing with them, the Sunday school teacher demonstrating to them. God's word won't return void and it will follow them. By the way, I'm glad sometimes it keeps falling and people come to Christ later in life. Amen. And that's how we pray for them. The faith was passed to them. Wait for it. And then it was passed through him. Timothy says, you know, my grandmother loved Jesus. And my mom loved Jesus. And Paul came and took me under his wing. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next time. I kind of like this business of introducing people to Christ. I kind of like this business of seeing disciples made. I kind of like all that. I think I want to do some more of this. And so you're going to see him assisting and pastoring, and being co-missionary. You're going to see him through an unlikely family situation. A Jewish family married to a pagan Greek man in northern Turkey. In a random missionary, comes through and either confirms his walk with Christ or leads him to Christ. He follows in believer's baptism, and then he becomes part of Paul's traveling band of missionary lovers of Christ, seeing people discipled, and then he makes disciples. Isn't that it? Wouldn't that be the greatest thing in 2021? Somebody you have influence on come to faith in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to rejoice? Wouldn't you like to introduce them at the end of a service? Wouldn't you like to call them on the phone and say, so-and-so, we've been praying for us, come to faith in Christ. I get in a real big way every now and then. I get real silly. I'm going, if people would just listen to me. Anybody here feel like if they would listen to me, everything would be all right? Anybody struggle with the fact that you are the only person with the right answer? Some of you going, I don't struggle with it. Christmas week, Lord, help me pray for people instead of just being mad at them. He says, unfeigned, or in other words, she was consistent. Anybody here driven to distraction by the inconsistency of people? I want to pass the faith to them. And then they get to a spiritual point where they're passing the faith through them. There was a mission of faith. Fred Craddock, his book, One Without Authority, speaking of powerless preaching, he told the story. He said, many of us have these dreams. Look right here, I'm done. Many of us have these dreams. Boy, if I could be a martyr for Jesus, if I could give a huge sum of money, if I could, you fill in the blank, that'd be pretty awesome. And that's really what living for Jesus is. Anybody? Man, that's what a real good Christian is. And Craddock says, it's like we got a $10,000 check and we take it to the bank and we're expecting $10,000 back. He said, the teller looks at it and starts handing us $10,000 worth of quarters. He said, and I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with these? I spend 25 cents with the neighbor kid who's having a bad day.
And I spend 75 cents over here with a lady who will not listen what she should do with her husband. And I spend $1.50 here, and I spend $5 here. He said, I get to the end of my life, and I realize I've spent that $10,000. But I've spread it all over the place. I offer to you Timothy. Part of Paul's travel itinerary. I got nobody like him who loves people like I love people, like Jesus loves people. Faith got to be modeled. Faith's got to have a mission. It's not just to avoid hell. It's not just to gain entrance to heaven. Its mission is to pass it on. It's to pass it on. Would you pray with me right now? Father, I love you and thank you so much for loving us. Excuse me. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sin. Thank you that you loved us, gave your son for us. Thank you that you gave us the scripture. And Lord, there's so much that's here. And Father, we flew over it. But oh, the challenge to my heart. Lord, it's always life on life. It's always person to person. And God, there's some grandparents listening who've kind of gotten out of the habit of praying for the grandkids. Who've kind of maybe not as vocal about their faith as they should be. There's some moms and dads, there's some aunts, some uncles, there's some cousins listening. And it's been a minute since you've prayed for that circle of influence. And truth of the matter, you act and live a lot better in public than you do in private. But it's in private where your faith is evaluated. And God is challenging your heart. Before there was ever a Timothy, there was a mother and a grandmother. And best we can tell, an unsaved father. It was not perfect setup. But Timothy loved Jesus in spite of the not so perfect start. Would you challenge us to spend our days knowing the Bible and living out the Bible and then passing, teaching the Bible to others? Lord, we're tempted to say there's no Timothy without a Paul, but the reality is there's no Timothy without, first of all, some God-loving parents and grandparents. Help us never underestimate the role we play, Lord. And help us not feel guilty if we do our very best and they walk away. May it just cause us even further to be committed and consistent, knowing that the word will stay with them. They won't get away from it. So help us here. God, as a church, to know the Bible and teach the Bible and live the Bible in our community. Oh, God, would you help us do that? Oh, we need you. We want you to show yourself strong and mighty. We are so struggling in this area, we feel like. Father, we ask this in your son's name. Our heads are bowed just for a moment.